Because the fact is if someone's upset about something, they are right and probably in the way that they're the way that they're pitching it out.
Perception. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the last thing you want to do is show a customer that you're not willing to be accountable or that you're not willing to own a problem.
This is the PMP Industry Insider Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome out to another episode of the PMP Industry Insider Podcast, where we take a look at what is changing in the pest and lawn industries, and we take you to the front lines to those that are driving those changes. I'm Donnie Shelton, owner of Triangle Home Services, which has Triangle Pest as well as Triangle Lawn. And with me from the capital, should I say the capital?
Well, it is the capital. What else would you say?
Well, there's a lot more that's been said about that town than being called the capital. We'll say that. So, Dan, please introduce yourself. Location,
Dan
topic,
Gordon,
sponsors,
PCO bookkeepers, PCO M&A specialists, and I am in the capital, but did have dinner with somebody last night who reminded me that the wealthiest county in the country is in Northern Virginia, and he said, "What's the biggest industry here?" And I said, "Government." And he goes, "Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Why is it the richest?" Anyway, no political. I was told, "Don't bring up religion, politics, or college football," and that's it. So there we go. So yeah. Anyway, I'm here from D.C. We're at Legislative Day, and we'll be doing a wrap of that, I think, in a couple of weeks with some of the MPMA folks. It's a terrific meeting. If you've never been, it brings the industry together, and it's very educational. It's really a pretty neat meeting. I go every year, and it's well worth it. Anyway, okay, where were we? Sponsors. Let's see. I said who you were. No, you said who you were. I said who I was. And sponsors. Okay, if you're interested in digital marketing, or I'm sorry, if you're interested in marketing, that's Colmarch by Workwave, and that's colmarch.com. And I ran into Todd Burke yesterday at Legislative Day from PestSure. And we had a chat. He is one of our sponsors, or PestSure is. So if you're interested in insurance specific for the pest control industry, whether it's liability, auto, workers' comp, and others, that's PestSure.com. And if you're interested in joining a PMP Insider peer group, please visit PMPIndustryInsider.com/peer groups, or listen to episode 136. We are we've got several groups going now. It's a pretty cool thing, and I've been getting some amazing feedback on that. And then this whole Apple thing, are we still doing this? Are we still talking about this?
I think we're good. I think our listeners know enough about it now. I think it's probably that we don't necessarily need to go to it. I'll give the 2 second version. If you've not downloaded the show in some time, make sure that you resubscribe. There's an issue where if you don't listen, I think for like 5 episodes, they automatically unsubscribe you. So we had a few folks that were missing some shows and were unaware of it and unaware of that change. So if you've not done that, do that. And then, of course, we always appreciate likes and all the other bid that I'll talk about at the end. So,
okay. So topic today, intro, one of the most powerful tools used in digital marketing are customer reviews. Used properly, they offer potential customers the opportunity to research companies that they want to do business with. However, in a crowded market universe, the race to get as many reviews as possible, there are players that will do anything to get them. Not on this podcast, but
anything to get them.
Yes. Yeah. So there are strict rules on how to solicit reviews and how not to. Trying to game the system can really result in severe penalties and you being blackballed by Google and whatnot, and that's no fun. That said, let's get started with Google's published policies. We'll talk about some of the policies that Google has in place, some of the things that you can do to get reviews, some of the things that you should steer clear of. And so I think if you want, Donnie, why don't you?
You want me to get started?
Hop in. Yeah, get started.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. I want to talk a little bit about why reviews are so important. If you have not read the book, The Psychology of Influence, it's a book by Robert Cialdini, and the book is amazing. And it goes through kind of what the psychological triggers are that people use to persuade others. I read this book many, many years ago, and he spends an entire chapter on social proof, how so important it is that when making a buying decision, one of the levers that gets used is, what are other people saying? And this is kind of what makes reviews so extremely important, especially in our industry, because the fact is that, you know, and there's another research study that he references in there about how much people do not like making a mistake. Then, and I'm not going to go through the whole research, but the upshot, the big picture from this research study basically boils down to this, which is, given two choices, one choice where they get the most amazing experience, but it's higher risk, versus they get kind of a sub amazing experience, but it's guaranteed, they're going to choose option number two, which is just kind of weird. And it just goes to show psychologically how much people do not want to make a bad decision. And you use that research study to factor in like how important the social proof is. And so when you think about our industry, and I'm talking pest and lawn when I say our, you know, a lot of people are moving into a new city, a new town or whatever. They may or may not be, if you think about our specific market, we like new customers that are moving in. They don't really know anyone. The very first thing they're going to do is go out on Nextdoor, or if they are part of a neighborhood mailing list or whatever, and they're going to go to reviews. And what they're going to try to understand is like, how do I not make a mistake here? And so this is why reviews are so critical in our industry. Now, there's a whole nother side of this, which is there's also the factors that get played into search results. You know, if you have a bunch of negative reviews, or you haven't had recent reviews, that absolutely plays into your ranking in SEO, meaning that if someone's searching, and that goes well beyond just what's happening organically, that also would be in GLS, that would be in Google My Business, that would be in Google Local when someone's using Maps. And so the reality of it is that fundamentally what's going on here is that people do not want to make a mistake, and they're using social proof to try to prevent from making that mistake. And reviews, by far, for our industry, is probably the one of most, well, it's not probably, it is the most important thing that you can do to alleviate and to fulfill that psychological need. So having said all of that, let's get into, we're going to talk a little bit about reviews, because almost everyone I know understands how important reviews are. The question becomes, how are you doing it, and how do you keep yourself clean while doing it? So let's start with, if you've never taken a look at Google's review policies or their policy on reviews, you should probably take a look at it. And the reason is because it lays out some things that I think are pretty commonplace in our industry, but when you read a little bit deeper, they're actually against the guidelines.
Right. So I mean, it's funny, you know, you never read the small print, but in preparing for this episode, I downloaded all of the small print, and it's kind of interesting. It makes a lot of sense, but you know, there's always people who want to game the system, and I'm not telling you that. Well, why wouldn't you, right? I mean, because based on what you just said, and I think you're spot on with you know, how people feel about this. Matter of fact, you know, sometimes you get targeted by others who want to sell to you because they think you're a large company because you have 1,000 reviews. You may be a two-person company, but understand getting reviews. But all of a sudden, you're thrown into, you know, best in class or largest companies just because of the number of the reviews that you have. Right. So downloaded the Google review policies. Do you want to, I guess the first one is prohibited content.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about let's talk about the clean kills. And what I mean by this is, like, if you do this, the review is either going to be taken off. Well, it absolutely will be taken down. If you do it enough, eventually they'll make it so that your listing is taken down. And so let's talk about the obvious. The number one prohibited content would be spam or fake content. And this would be reviews that are not actually real. So if you have like your people, like employees or your friends, and they're writing reviews of something that never transpired, that's very difficult to prove. But at the same time, if someone calls it out and they realize like there's a lot of this happening, that is prohibited. That's considered to be spamming. And they, you know, if you go through the policy, they say reviews aimed at manipulating ratings, which I think is a hilarious way of saying that, because the fact of the matter is, why else would you be doing this? Right. Like, oh, I'm just doing it because I want to do it.
Ever, I get sometimes spammy emails saying you want to up your reviews. So there are bots that will do all of this stuff. And that's exactly what they're saying you can't do. You
right.
know?
Yeah. The other thing that you can't, that's considered to be spamming, and this used to be an actual strategy back in the day. It is now prohibited. And if you're doing this, I would check with your SEO company. Most SEO companies are not doing this and they're well aware of this, but it never hurts to just double check the whole trust but verify thing. And that is using duplicate content from different sources. So if someone reviews you, let's say that you're a member of the Better Business Bureau, if people even still use that, and someone leaves you a really glowing review and you say, hey, well, that's really great. I'm going to make sure that on all my platforms, everyone gets this review. You cannot cut and paste that review. You cannot use that review. According to Google's review policies, you cannot duplicate content from different sources, meaning that you can't just transfer a review on one platform onto their platform. That's not what they want. They want it to be a unique experience of something that actually transpired from a real customer. Does that make sense?
What if a customer does it? If you say to a customer, hey, listen, I want you to be on Yelp and I want you to be on Google. Can you do me a favor? You know, I did a great job for you and whatnot. If the customer does it, okay.
No, I would say I would not do that. First of all, what customer is going to go on multiple platforms and review you unless they're super pissed off?
Well, no, I'm thinking the other way. I'm thinking a positive review.
I know exactly what you're saying.
You just did a great job and right. You kind of did the cool thing. You got to ask for a view, right? And ask for permission. Well, what did you do for me? Well, I did a good job. Okay. So, but yeah. Okay. So,
well, here's what I will say. If they wrote different reviews or the content was slightly different, but the overall message was the same, that's okay. Right.
Nobody's going to do that. But if they,
no one's going to do that. Yeah. Right. But if it's a straight, you know, control C, control V, command C, command V, if you're a Mac person, you know, the reality of it is that if that's what's going on, that's going to be seen as duplicate content and it's actually going to hurt you. So, you know, that the algorithm will pick that up. It'll consider it spam. And that review either A, won't count, B, you'll get knocked down, or C, it will actually hurt your ranking. So spam is a big deal. You know, back and I can talk about years ago, back when Google really started cracking down on spam, and I felt like they went way, you know, the pendulum was one way, which, you know, it was the Wild West, and then they went the other way, which is if anything even smelt like spam, they would freaking bar you, kick you off Google, and just like be done with you. Now it's kind of coming back to the middle, but there's still like, do not mess around with spam, because it is the number one thing that can get you, I don't want to say blacklisted, but it's the number one thing that can really hurt your rankings a lot. And back in the day when I was at Coalmarch, a lot of times we'd take customers on, we would not do SEO. We would do spam cleanup. That was what would get rankings for folks. I mean, we spent a lot of time not trying to promote the business. We actually spent a lot of time trying to clean up the business because, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you can't outrun a bad diet, right? If someone's trying to get in shape, you know, you can talk to them all day long about working out, but if they're eating crap all day long, it's not going to help. It's the same way with this. Like if you're all like, oh yeah, we're going to go out and get great reviews, but you have a ton of spammy stuff, you can do that all day long. It's not going to work. So that's the first thing, is do not spam or generate fake content. It will kill you in a New York minute, as Dan would say. We're going to use New York.
Yes, here. Yes, so. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So let's get into the second thing that is prohibited. The second thing that Google does not like, and I would say the great Googling, and this one makes sense, right, is that a review that is totally off topic. Now, this is actually a pretty good one, and I'm going to give a bit of a strategy here. If you get a negative review and someone starts putting in something personal about a technician or about your company or whatever, you can actually flag that review and have it removed, because the fact of the matter is that any review that's considered off topic, where the content's irrelevant to either your business or that location, or there's some sort of social commentary about some cause that, you know, you're spraying poison and, you know, the world's dying or something like that, that's some sort of, you know, social commentary, or there's some sort of political thing, which, by the way, I actually have a really funny story about that. I got reviewed politically. Triangle.
So
on top.
Here we go. We're pulling it in.
Oh, here we go.
College, well, football, religion, well, or
you
politics.
You are. You are in DC. So, but yeah. No. So first of all, no one knows how I vote. not even my wife, right? Like, I don't share what I vote for or who I vote for because it's just, it's no one's business, right? Well, somehow this happened years ago. This was back when Trump first ran. I don't know if you remember this, like 2020, was it 2020 that he ran? Yeah, it was 2020. And I don't know what happened, but somehow in someone's Facebook feed, there was these different connections and someone found someone that knew me that had voted for Trump. And they went on and wrote a review that this owner supports, you know, Trump and we need to do this. And like, we're going to rally all the folks. And I'm like, who is this person? And anyway, the review got removed, of course. But the fact is that
who removed it? You or
no, Google did. Google moved it. We flagged it and said, hey, this is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with our business. And it was, I mean, legitimately, this lady had made several, like, she had made several connections that just were going nowhere that actually didn't come back to me. But it was, I guess, long story short, if anything political or societal or some sort of social cause, that review should not, if it's considered to be off topic and it's not specific to your service, it's not specific to your business, it's not specific to your location, that is gone. Same thing for personal rants, right? If that's considered to be off topic. Now, if it's a rant about your service and it's very, you know, it's about like how a technician showed up, that is not a personal rant. If it's like, well, you know, pest control in general, lawn care, you know, kills blah, blah, blah. Now that's a personal rant. That's one you can get flagged. It's considered to be off topic and you can actually use the guideline to your advantage. And I would highly recommend you do that. The reason I say it, you know, when we very first got on this topic, you really should review the guidelines is because the fact is that a lot of times when you get a negative review, oftentimes customers will break these guidelines because they don't know them either. And if someone's really upset and they're mad or whatever, then, you know, you can come back and say, hey, this breaks this guideline. And generally speaking, it will get removed.
You don't want to remove all your negative reviews because you're going to get some, you know, nobody's perfect. And if everything's perfect, then you got to wonder,
This is where you and I veer off the path here, Dan. Of course, I know that they're going to come, but do I want them? No. Does it bother me?
You don't
me?
Want them, yes. but you want them in a, you know, not a combative fashion.
Of course. Well, the point is that, you know, the reality of it is that oftentimes if someone's upset, like these types of reviews, like this one where I got pegged for some sort of political thing that no one knows how to vote or whatever. Yeah, exactly. It's like, it has no point. It's not relevant to our business. It's someone clearly trying to do a hit job. It's like, get rid of it, right? Just totally get rid of it. And that brings me kind of to the third point of things that are considered off topic, which are personal rants. I've never really had a review removed due to a personal rant. I have seen them, but they typically don't last very long. And sometimes you don't even need to report it. Google will pick it up and be like, that review is not relevant.
Give me an example of a personal rant.
It would be like, well, the political thing would be one, right? Okay. Never used my service, made some assumptions, went down the wrong path, and then made this rant about some political thing that has nothing to do with our business, has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with someone that showed up at their house or even their service. And I mean, here's the other one. And this has happened as well. Okay, so I know this has probably never happened to you. I'm sure it's never happened to any of our listeners, but we have customers who live beside crazy, okay? Now, and crazy comes
They're
out.
They're not crazy, they live beside crazy.
They live beside crazy. Okay. And so we go out to serve neighbor of crazy, and then crazy comes out and like just goes, you know, gangbusters, right? I mean, crazy comes out and it's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? You're killing me. And I mean, they're wearing masks. I mean, I have some stories, man. And I mean, some stories. And I'm sure no one else has ever had this happen. But I'm talking ambulance being called, you know what I mean? I mean, the whole bid. And then that person goes online and just rocks you as far as a review. Again, sure, it's never happened to any of our customers. It's happened to us. That would be a personal rant. Because this is someone who has no direct exposure to your business, has never used your service, has no affiliation with you. And generally speaking, people who are that crazy, they can't help themselves. When they go online, it is going to be a personal rant, and that's something that breaks that guideline. And it is prohibited, right? It doesn't belong in the review system. So those are considered to be off topic. Anything that you're generating that's based on fake content is considered to be spam. And then the third one is pretty easy, which, you know, these are like the standard stuff that you would typically expect, right? You can't be posting any sexually explicit material. You
no
can't
pictures of you and your Speedo.
Yeah, no, no. Okay. Although I think one of you would be amazing.
I think it would.
Yeah, it probably would. Any hateful, discriminatory, violent language, which, by the way, we've had that happen before as well. Any bullying or harassment, any illegal content, like this doesn't happen anymore. But back in the day, man, like it would be like, you get these spammers and they were really good and they would go on and leave a review, but really they would leave a link out to some other website that they're selling, I don't know, pills that will make you like, you know, look 20 years younger. Who knows? I don't know. But that kind of stuff is considered to be restricted content. And then the other one, and this is the big one, is private information. You cannot leave addresses, phone numbers, you know, they call it in the military, they call it PII, but personally identifiable information. That is also considered to be restricted content. It's against their guidelines and it should not go into a review. Now, I will tell you, we encourage our customers, hey, if you're going to leave us a review, we really like it if you use our technician's name, or their first name, and we really like it if you say the pest or what we did with your lawn. That is completely green. That's green. That's completely like legit, right? It's okay to do that. Now, if I say Donnie Shelton and his phone number is this and his address is this, that is considered to be restricted content that will get taken down. That does break their guidelines. So just be careful with that. Okay. So spam and fake content, off topic, and then restricted content, which are the easy ones, right? Bullying, sexually explicit material, hateful, illegal content, and emotional type stuff. And then the last one is one that we start really getting into what I would consider to be a gray area, which is reviews by business owners or employees about their own business, which I'm sure none of our listeners have ever encouraged their own employees to write a review for their own business, but that is considered to be a conflict of interest, according to Google, or reviews written in exchange for compensation. Boy, I'm gonna tell you, this one is a really, really gray area, and there are commercial businesses that break this guideline every single day. So, Dan, would you like to take this one on? Because I'm happy to add to this conversation.
Well, yeah. So
about in exchange for compensation and where that could go.
Yeah. So you can say to a customer, we'll give you $25 if you write a review, or we'll put a credit on your account for, you know, $20 or whatever, or somehow, some way give compensation to the customer. Okay. Yeah. Yep. And that's prohibited. But any war stories on that?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. I will say this.
I'm not saying, I mean, you were at Walmart, so that we're not talking about Triangle. I'm sure okay. You saw many companies.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let me switch hats here then. I don't have a physical hat, although I am wearing a hat on this episode.
Yeah, but what's up with that?
I
noticed that it's curved. The brim is curved. If it was flat, I'd be worried about you.
Yes,
with the hat.
Yes, yes. So okay. Here's what I have seen, and here's where I think you really need to be careful, is when you ask or request a review, if you have it written that you're going to compensate that employee for a review, that clearly breaks the guideline. Now, does this happen every day? Yes. Are there companies that are using this as a strategy? Yes. But remember, it is actually breaking the guidelines for reviews. Now, I'm not saying that you should do this. I'm not saying that you should not do this. But there are other ways that this works that just there's no way anyone's going to know. There's no way that it's going to get brought out that it's actually happening. One would be, and I'm not promoting this, I'm not saying you should do it, I'm just using it as an example. Hey, if you leave us a review of your experience, we can provide you with a $5, $10, $15 credit on your next service. I've seen that done. I've seen things done as far as like, if you leave us a review, we will comp your next service, which I think is a pretty expensive review, but I have seen that as well. But I've seen ways where people have requested reviews, and while the exchange is not necessarily compensation, it could be viewed as such. It's done in terms of comped services, which I would consider to be a form of compensation, or some other favor. That technically breaks the conflict of interest part of their review policy.
But now, honestly, so what's the difference in terms of the investigation of, you can't tell whether I give you money. You can't, but if I have on my website, hey, leave us a review and you get a free service, that you know, you're right. You're definitely holding it out there. So what's the difference? So what are the covert ways of doing it so that our, you know, our audience knows not what not to do?
Yeah. So there's a couple things I would say here. Number one, I reviewed this part of the policy. Donnie's opinion here, by the way, I'm just giving the disclaimers. I view this like some of our government policies. You ever notice, like, sometimes it may not happen in your state. It happens in mine. I'm reigning from the great state of North Carolina. And we have a propensity of writing regulation without funding it. And what that means is that we'll write a regulation that says, hey, this is illegal. But then we don't fund those departments to actually enforce that regulation. So then guess what happens? No one pays attention.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone just keeps business as usual. Even though technically it's illegal, there's no one there to enforce it. And I'm sure, Dan, you see this all the time as far as IRS regulation and taxes and those types of things. I mean, the reality of it is that there are things that you can get away, which technically is not part of, you know, again, let's go back to the whole state example. You know, there could be a policy or regulation that you're breaking, but if no one's there to enforce it, well, then it is what it is. I will tell you, reviews written in exchange for compensation, in my mind, would fall into that category. If you're offering a discount on the next service, the reality of someone's going to actually investigate that all the way down and then figure that out, I would say it's pretty low. I think Google, as long as you're not like explicit, kind of like what you just described there, Dan, where I've got it on my website, hey, leave us a review, we're going to send you a $25 gift card. That is clearly, you know, outside the guidelines. And if you have that going on and it's readily accessible, well, that's a clean kill, right? It's an absolute clean kill. If you're sending emails or text after the service and it's not something that's publicly available outside of just your interaction with customers, and a customer may end up, you know, sending that to Google and they would probably remove that one. But the idea that they would go through all your reviews and say that, well, that's all these reviews are invalid and we're going to take down your listing, I just don't see that happening. And so what I would close with on this conflict of interest piece would be is that reviews written in exchange for compensation, you just need to pay attention there. I would, you know, and I'm not levying an opinion on this show as to what you should or should not do. I'm just simply making you aware that according to Google reviews policies, you cannot exchange compensation for a review because they want to keep the reviews authentic and they want to keep the reviews real, and that someone out of the goodness of their heart just randomly goes on and decides to review you on Google.
Let me ask you a question. So in doing a little bit of research for this episode, I came up with best practices for leaving a review.
Yes.
Which is not the company, which is your customer.
Yes.
Can you provide that to the customer? Hey, if you had a great experience, please leave us a review. And
absolutely,
here are some guidelines.
Yes, okay. Yes. And okay, in fact, I would encourage you to do that. There are some things. Now, I will tell you this. The content of reviews are a ranking factor, meaning that if someone writes in, hey, Triangle really took care of my ants, now there's an association with ants to a good review. And that is viable content. So now, that doesn't mean that you train your customers to write spammy content, but it does not hurt at all on your review request to say, hey, would you mind mentioning which technician that worked with you? Would you mind mentioning which pest that we were able to resolve for you? And then kind of what the impact was. And so the reality of it is that if you do that, it actually is, it's a really smart way of getting reviews. If you're not kind of coaching customers on how to leave a review, I think you're really missing an opportunity because, I mean, before we did this, we'd get reviews like great service, period, dot, and then 5 stars. Like it was, okay, so yes, it was a review. Yes, it was 5 stars, but there's a lot more that could have been left on the table. At the same time, I don't want a dissertation that's like, what is this person talking about? You know, he showed up, the tire was armored off and his shoes had a glare. I mean, like, you know, those things don't really add a whole lot either. So I think if you can help folk, it's like anything, right? If you kind of give someone like, hey, this is what I want you to write and here is the guidelines for writing, it's just going to be much more aligned with what you need as a business. And I will tell you,
had ants took care of the problem.
Correct.
Joe Blow, the technician,
exactly,
was terrific. Thank you.
And I like the name. I really do like the name going in the review for a very specific reason. And that is in our business. When I say our business, I'm talking both pest and lawn, especially pest. Lawn, we need more of this, but it's all about that customer to technician connection. And people want to know that they've got good people there and that who shows up at their house is a good person, whatever that means to them. And so when people use names, then it humanizes what's going on. Because the fact is that no one really buys from Triangle, right? They buy from Bob, or they buy, like, that's their guy or girl, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But I really like to hammer home that relationship side of the business, because I think that's what really, you know, that's what people really resonate with. And that's what they're looking for at the end of the day. They're looking for someone who knows what they're doing, someone they can trust, and someone's going to take care of the problem. And, you know, the brand itself is good, but we're in a service company, right? I mean, we're in a service business, and that's what we do. So yes, I would say absolutely make sure that you focus on the business, you focus on the person, and you focus on what they took care of. Now, let's talk about what happens when you get a negative review, because we're getting towards the end here.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm sure this doesn't happen to our customers. It does happen to me from time to time. Every now and then, we get a bad review. It does happen. And, you know, the question becomes, and I've seen this, and then I'm going to put on my Coal March hat here real quick. I've seen this done really badly. If you have someone who is responding to reviews, or you yourself get defensive pretty easily, walk away from the computer. Do not respond to that review. The last thing, I mean, I've seen negative reviews get turned into really positives, and I've seen negative reviews get gasoline thrown on them. And I mean, they go from bad to like, oh my gosh, this is awful. Especially like if someone gets their ego involved and they, you know, they take it personal that someone critiqued them or they didn't think it was fair or whatever. If you get online and nothing's your fault, you respond to 3 negative reviews and nothing was your fault, you didn't own anything, that is a clear signal to the customer, I don't want to do business with this business, because they're never going to own anything. I will tell you that for Triangle, our very first thing, our fault or not, is to jump right in front of it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. This is because the fact is if someone's upset about something, they are right, and probably in the way that they're the way that they're pitching it out.
Perception. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the last thing you want to do is show a customer that you're not willing to be accountable or that you're not willing to own a problem. Now, having said that, here is what I would consider to be a pro tip, and it has helped me out tremendously. When you have a negative review, I just want you to calm down. I want you to select that text. I want you to copy it. Then I want you to go over to ChatGPT. And I want you to write the following. I want you to write, can you please write a warm and friendly response to this negative review with these following points? And ChatGPT.
If you don't learn anything from our podcast, this is the aha moment.
This is the pro tip, okay?
Yeah.
You go back, yeah. And I mean, seriously, look, you're going to laugh. By the way, I had Sharon. Sharon's been on the show several times, and we were actually doing this very thing, and I was showing it to her. And she's like, why do you write please to ChatGPT? I'm like, because whenever I'm kind to it, it's kind to me. She's like, do you say thank you? I'm like, I absolutely do.
It's my best friend.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean,
it doesn't talk back.
But the handle here, right? I mean, the prompt should be, can you please write a warm and friendly review or response to this negative review with the following points? And you can outline, like, here's what happened, here's what we did, and here's what we're going to do, and we're really sorry. And I will tell you, 99% of the time, ChatGPT or Gemini, whatever your flavor is going to write an amazing response. A lot of times you have to coach it a little bit to kind of pare it down, because it'll write a really long response. But the fact is that, you know, that is how you respond to a negative review. And, you know, you could take that. You don't have to cut and paste exactly what ChatGPT says, but it also gives you a really good way, because what it does, it's kind of a third party. And as much as you'd like to think, ChatGPT doesn't have feelings, right?
What?
And and it's going to stick to kind of like being very soft, but also being really accountable. And so there's several ways you can write this, but I would tell you that for us, it's ChatGPT, and it's saying, hey, I want this response to be warm and friendly, because what you don't want that review to be is defensive and standoffish, because it's just going to leave a dirty taste in someone's mouth that's actually watching what's transpiring here on their view system. So what do you got?
So let me ask you a question. So this probably doesn't happen to anybody, but I of our listeners, but I've seen it happen. A disgruntled employee or a competitor leaves a negative review. How do you handle that?
Those are clean kills, and those you flag them. And then when you flag them, you can say, this was a prior employee. You can tell because X, Y, and Z, or this is a competitor. Or the other thing you can say is, hey, you know what? We don't have your, I think maybe you've reviewed the wrong business. We don't have your account in our system, or some sort of that. You know, those are ways that you can handle those. And we've done that. And again, going back to the Co-March days, that's exactly what we would do when we got a bad review from a bad employee, or we got a bad review from a competitor. Those are what I consider to be pretty clean kills. And so they take a little bit of time. They don't come off immediately, and that sometimes drives people crazy. Sometimes it may take 3 weeks to a month to get that review gone. But I mean, the one thing I will say is Google's really good about handling situations like that. You know, they just, you know, they, I mean, as long as you are clear about this is who it is and here's what happened. And a lot of times you can tell right from the review that, you know, obviously don't lie about that. I mean, if some of you get a bad review and you're like, oh, this was a competitor, whatever, you know, don't cry wolf. But those are easy, I guess, is my point. So, all right, we're getting to the end here. Anything else, Dan, we should talk about before we finish out here?
Yeah, can we just talk a little bit about how Google detects this? So when I did a little bit of research for this episode, you know, what are, you know, obviously there's a tremendous amount of reviews and data up on Google. So how do they flag all this?
Well, you know, there's
That would be
obviously,
under the how Google detects this line in our outline.
yeah, you know, the reality of it is that there's a couple of things. You know, they claim that there's an algorithm that's going through and finding these things. I have not had very good experience with this algorithm. I mean, it's pretty rare I've had one just automatically pulled off. But I would say the vast majority, the lion's share of how Google detects it is through users, through people flagging them. And you know, that to me would be, I would say that's probably the way the vast majority of reviews are either flagged or they're suspected, is that people go in and flag them. And by the way, it's a dirty strategy, and I've seen some companies do it, is they'll go in and flag reviews of their competitors. We've never done that. I don't know that it's ever been done to us, but I have seen that done. But you know, the reality of it is that they say that they have an algorithm. I have seen some reviews removed, but they were so obvious. But most of the time, and I can't tell you if that came from an algorithm or if it came from a user report. I will tell you this, the vast majority that I have seen action on have all been a result of some sort of user report, either a customer reporting it or the business reporting it. Most of the time, it's the business reporting it, because most of the time, customers don't report reviews. I mean, they just don't.
Boggles my mind that you even have enough time to do that to a competitor. Like, you know, like
Yeah, well,
it
there's some weird
just
people out there. There's definitely some weird people out there. So, I
we
mean, you know, at the end of the day, here's what I'll tell you. You do the right things happen. I mean, it's just a law, the law of the land, right? I mean, if you provide a really good service and you're not trying to screw people over and you're really trying to be a good operator, it's going to come out in the reviews. Likewise, if you're not paying attention, you're not being very on point with your customers, and you're not willing to stand in front and take accountability, you're not willing to own problems, it's going to get riddled out in reviews as well. I mean, we're just in a world now where you can't really hide your service, right? You can't suck and still shine up. You can't put lipstick on a pig. I mean, it just doesn't work. And so, you know, I just think that, you know, there is the, I mean, there's obviously showing the best that you can, but you know, most salespeople want to work for great companies because it's not hard to sell the product, right? Not hard to sell the service. And so you just, I would say, and I don't think most people listen to this podcast are really good operators. I mean, they wouldn't be listening to the podcast if they were not. But just don't forget that, right? Sometimes people get really caught up into what's going on with their reviews, and they forget, like, yeah, you screwed up, dude. Just own it and then fix the problem. You know what I mean? I mean, don't get a defensive about the feedback. Use it, because there are times that we get feedback that is absolutely false, but that was the perception. And the fact is that perception is reality. So that gives us something to actually work on. Even if it was false, it's like, well, why did the customer perceive this? And let's fix that as well. And it may not be as simple as, well, we're going to use a different product or we're going to change this procedure. It may be something like, yeah, we probably need to explain this a little bit more when we're selling the service. Or we need to, you know what I mean? Like it just gives you better ways to improve. Not always, but a lot of times if a review is for real, you just have to look at it as an opportunity to grow. So
also, right. let's remember that Google is not the law, right? So that it's their policies. But in doing some of the research for this, I came up with, the Federal Trade Commission will, and this is very rare, but I came up with a few cases where they'll go in and, they're not focused on, the Google, but it's more of, deceptive practices, things like that. And there's a couple, like one of them was a weight loss company that were accused of making false weight loss claims about their product. And so they got dinged. A learning system that used deceptive practices. What are some of the others?
Online fashion retailers. I mean, you name it. I mean, this is not uncommon, especially for areas where people are really beefing up reviews for their product to sell more product. It's a little bit more difficult in the service industry to make this connection. But if you are profiting big time over deceptive practices, you absolutely could be held liable for it, and you could be going to court over it. So just be careful with that.
Yeah.
All righty. We got to finish out. Just a reminder, all the resources and topics that we talked about today are available on the podcast website, pmpindustryinsider.com. Just take a look under show notes. And as you can imagine, Dan and I didn't get through maybe 25% of our show notes for today. We may have to do another episode on this topic because it's such a big topic. But we always appreciate any ratings and reviews that however it is that you listen to podcasts, whether it be through YouTube or Apple or Spotify. We always appreciate those. And if you have complaints or negative reviews, we ask you to direct those at Dan. And with that, we'll sign off. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.